Peter and John is a new film set on Nantucket in 1872, a period after the decline of whaling and before the rise of tourism on the island. The story focuses on a family whose relationships become strained when the younger brother John receives an unexpected inheritance. Joining us to discuss Peter and John is the film's writer and director, Jay Craven. Welcome.
My pleasure.
The film Peter and John is based on a 19th century French novel of the same name. When did you first hear of the novel, and why did you want to make a film based on the story?
Well, I actually first heard about the novel back in about 2003 when a British producer approached me about doing a screen adaptation that she planned to shoot in Durban, South Africa. You know, it's a seaside story. That project fell apart 3 weeks before we were supposed to actually go to Durban when two producers got into an argument with each other on the tarmac at the Berlin International Airport. So it's a project that, you know, after I had spent a year working on a script, and so it sort of embeds itself. The characters, the story really live with you. And when I was on Nantucket in 2012, the summer of 2012, Chris Noth, an actor who's well known for Sex and the City and The Good Wife, had come to Nantucket to do a benefit for the first of the films that I've made through this new film intensive program where college students and professionals collaborate. And while I was doing press and meeting with people, there was enthusiasm for this approach of filmmaking, and people started reaching out to me and saying, well, why don't you do a Nantucket film? Why don't you think about the next project shooting here on Nantucket? And I love Nantucket and have spent lots of time there since I was 17 years old, as I have throughout the Cape. My family lived in Wellfleet starting in 1969, and I wrote part of the screenplay for both Northern Borders and Where the Rivers Flow North on Martha's Vineyard, and had been working with the Nantucket Film Festival running the program for high school students in screenwriting and filmmaking since, I think it was 2011. So I was originally thinking that we would do our next film in North Carolina. And then I said, well, Nantucket's New England. My whole thing has been New England. I've made, you know, 6 Vermont feature films. Nantucket sounds perfect. And it would be an opportunity to take this French seaside novel and find some particular resonance related to New England. And that really, it sort of began on the spot as an idea that was planted and started to grow that summer of 2012. And I began trying to put the pieces together. There was fabulous support from the nonprofit community on Nantucket. And a few people also stepped forward to help raise some money, because every film, of course, depends on that, although we make these films on very, very low budgets.
Can you indicate what's a low budget?
Yeah, I mean, I made 6 feature films in Vermont, on most of them on budgets of $2 million, where nobody gets rich and I took no pay at all, you know, because it's a kind of cultural mission as opposed to commercial cinema. I mean, it really is about place-based storytelling here in New England. But nonetheless, even on a $2 million budget, I mean, the average Hollywood movie is made on a budget of $65 million with another $60 million of marketing. That's sort of the average Hollywood picture. So a $2 million picture is very low budget. But nonetheless, even with a lot of exposure for the film and a lot of distribution, it's very hard to recoup that amount. And when you make a movie at that budget level, you are seeking investors to be a part of it. My company's a nonprofit, but the nonprofit would form a subsidiary that would raise investment money, blah, blah, blah. And the films got out there and played a lot of video and TV and video on demand and internationally and everything else, but we were not recouping the movies. So this idea came to me in 2011, and I made a proposal to the president of the college where I teach, who was looking for some innovative ideas for, you know, sort of reinventing how can we make college education more relevant and without cutting back and going in low residency and online learning, how can we go in the other direction and do some intensive learning? And filmmaking was an obvious idea for me. And after a few months, I got a note in my box that said, okay. But anyway, so there were 2 goals. One was to create an intensive education model sort of based on the John Dewey idea of intensive learning that enlarges meaning through the shared experience of joint action. And also the idea of using one central element, in this case the screenplay, to proliferate 100 different kinds of participation and learning where students can really own part of the narrative of making this project that's larger than any of us. And so that part of it was very exciting to me, having worked in progressive education for a long time and the arts. But the other goal was to really try to find a sustainable model for independent, regional, New England place-based filmmaking. And instead of shooting on a $2 million budget, which I had done, I said, we've got to squeeze this, we've got to work it, and we were making the films on budgets. This Peter and John was made on a budget around $660,000, so much, much lower.
The film is set just after the end of the Civil War, and even though Nantucket was isolated geographically from the conflict, the impacts of the war and race relations were still felt on the island. Let's hear a clip from the film. This is a scene around the dinner table with the Roland family, Peter and John, their parents, and a mysterious woman, Lucia, who has come to the island to seek out Peter.
Miss Childs, tell us all about you.
My story is of little interest, Mrs. Roland.
Won't you tell us from where you come? I'm all ears.
Cuba, originally. My family fled when I was just 6 to San Agustin.
Why on earth?
My father was hunted in Cuba for his work against slavery. He opposed the Spanish rulers of my country.
If you were against slavery, then why the hell did your family settle in a slave state?
Charles, please. No child bears the burden of what their parents do.
My family wished to stay out of the war. Many people did.
I'm sure. What about your husband? You said he knew Peter. Did he fight for the Union?
Stop it, Charles. And don't answer him, Miss Childs.
It's all in good humor. Robert E. Lee brought 20,000 slaves with him to Gettysburg, young lady. And he grabbed and shackled every free Negro he encountered on his march through Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Charles said that her family opposed slavery, Father. Or weren't you listening?
Well, I'm guessing that she married a Confederate officer who defended slave owners. Am I wrong?
Yankees built and profited from the slave trade for 200 years, Father.
Our family, including you, young man, were abolitionists. This island established the first Quaker meeting in the world opposed to slavery.
While some island Quakers held on to their slaves for another 50 years, and the Newport Quakers made their fortunes from slavery.
Why did you fight in the war, son?
I didn't fight. I tended to the dead and the dying. And yes, because I opposed slavery. As does Miss Childs, or Mrs. Childs, which is something we have in common.
Now that everyone, except our John, has finally established their bona fides, could we forget this nonsense and enjoy our flounder?
My father said...
And that includes you, Miss Childs.
Yes, of course.
Jacqueline Bisset's character, Julia, is clearly the matriarch here. And as we heard in the clip, Peter is a doctor who participated in the war and now has a practice on Nantucket. His brother, John, is a trained attorney. Tell us more about these brothers and their relationships.
Well, I think that, Peter's a little bit older, probably 29, 30 years old, young doctor, having been a medic for the Union Army. John, and he's sort of sober and serious and thoughtful, and he's also the apple of his mother's eye, although all of these relationships come under strain during the film. John mostly likes fun and, had not served in the war, but is a bit of a ladies' man, and so there's a contrast between the two, but they have a sort of playful camaraderie and a little bit of competitiveness, and this is all put to the test when, A, John receives this really substantial inheritance, $17,000 a year, which in 1872 was quite a bit of money, and where Peter is sort of struggling to keep his practice going and find a new office and collect from indigent patients and everything else. And so there's a bit of the status of these two brothers starts to really come into sharp relief, and their conflict develops additionally when this young Hispanic woman arrives on the island and both boys take an interest in her. And so the film is, and when you're a filmmaker, you try to find elements in every story that you can relate to. And I actually have a younger brother who I love dearly, but there are some complicated elements in our relationship and a little bit of rivalry that is sort of unexplained and difficult to resolve. And, you know, I mean, it's, I think it's probably true to life in certain ways. But I think that what Maupassant, the writer Guy de Maupassant, the French writer, was trying to do was to, you know, develop this contrast and to also make some comments on the whole notion of the petty bourgeoisie and money and the times and sort of how far someone would go to reveal or suppress the truth. And so we see the relationship between these two brothers come under a lot of pressure and really undergoes a major transformation during the course of the story.
Let's talk about the cast. Many recognizable names in the cast. Jacqueline Bisset stars as Peter and John's mother, Gordon Clapp as their father, and Peter is played by Christian Coulson. How did you go about assembling and working with the cast?
Well, Jacqueline actually had been one of the, well, when I looked at developing this film back in 2003, our first choice to play the part was actually Julie Christie, and she was not working a lot. And our second choice was Jacqueline, and I'd sent her the script and had a conversation with her over the phone, and she agreed to play it, although when we pitched her this time, she had no recollection of it, although she found the book that I sent her on her bookshelf. Oh, how fortuitous. And I explained to her that we'd actually been through this, you know, 12 years ago. And you know, Jacqueline wants to work. Her British agent looked at the script, sent it on to her. She gets pitched a lot of scripts, and she responded to it immediately. And so that relationship was through outreach to her British agent, which often is easier to access than an American agent. That's a whole just sort of trick of the trade to a certain extent, that European agents tend to be a little more responsive and a little bit faster in the way they process decisions, which was good for us. Gordon Clapp was touring New England with a show about Robert Frost, which I presented. I've also done some presenting of music theater dance in northern New England. And he developed a show called This Verse Business about Robert Frost, which he played in a dozen different towns throughout New England. And I presented the show, liked Gordon, and we had some friends in common. He worked in the early John Sayles films, Return of the Sea Caucus 7, Mate 1, Eight Men Out. I have other actors that I've worked with over the years who were in those films. He sort of knew about my work. I knew a little bit about his. He had an Emmy Award from his work on NYPD Blue. He had a Tony nomination for being in Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway. Was in Flags of Our Fathers, Clint Eastwood. So a solid actor, also from northern New Hampshire, a good New Englander. And he seemed right for the part. It was not an easy part because he plays the husband of Jacqueline, and he's a little bit out of the loop and maybe oblivious or maybe knowing some of the family secrets that get revealed, but an interesting character. We cast him as a former whaler who spent 11 years at sea and basically decided to give it up, that it was just too much. And that was sort of a window, which, of course, in a movie you can't explain everything. But the more research I did into sort of the whaling culture and just understanding how it impacted Nantucket and how long these men were away and, you know, what happened when they were gone and, you know, it really sort of fit perfectly, as far as I was concerned, into the original Maupassant novel and actually gave more substance to the father, to the husband, than I think, than I found in the Maupassant novel itself. It actually, by adding some specific history and some specific cultural stuff that was particular to Nantucket and to New England and to sort of the Cape and Islands culture, I found that the story actually gained dimension. That was my experience of it.
Let's hear another clip. This is a conversation between Peter and his mother. And just before this clip starts, John leaves to walk Lucia back to her boarding house after an outing with the family.
It pains me to ask, but I need to borrow $5. John helped himself to the last of my cash, and I need to be solvent for the move.
Of course, but don't be so hard on your brother. We need to help him to find his way in the world.
Which will never happen if this goes on.
The girl is stunning. Though her pretext for her arrival at our doorstep just takes my breath away.
I wouldn't judge her for that, not yet.
Is there something you're not telling me? You have your eye on her. We don't keep secrets.
Now, the irony is that Peter, Lucia, and Julia all have secrets.
They all have secrets. And so that was, which is sort of one of the operative themes in the film. And some of those secrets are preserved and some of them are not. And some become very contentious and others are sort of, and there's even a little bit of, a double standard in terms of what secrets are revealed and what secrets are kept. And I think that that's good. I think that helps to make the story more complex. And I should mention that Christian Coulson, who plays Peter, and I think does a terrific job, and Diane Guerrero were both suggested, discovered, and recruited by students who worked on the project. They organized the casting sessions in New York. They were all discovered through casting auditions in New York City. They pitched, got 2,500 resumes, looked through them. They said, oh, Christian Coulson, wow, he was in Harry Potter. And they all knew about him. He was also in The Hours with Meryl Streep. And Diane Guerrero's Orange is the New Black and Julia the Virgin. So she was sort of known to the students as well.
Describe some of the challenges and opportunities of filming on Nantucket in April.
Well, the weather is unpredictable. It's frequently windy. We filmed outdoor scenes in 40-mile-an-hour winds.
How'd you do that?
Well, for one thing, and one of them was a night scene, we had to lower the lights substantially. Normally, you would have lights 12, 15, 18 feet in the air, and we had to sort of bring them to about 7 feet in the air and have students and crew sort of anchoring them. And we were debating right to the last minute whether we could shoot it, and so it's just you don't want stuff starting to blow around. There's a lot of equipment there. And in some of these scenes where it was extremely windy, the camera started shaking a bit because just you can't stop it. And we had to do some image stabilization post-production on some shots. The other thing you find is when you're out at the beach, of course, the weather changes are so dramatic and so fast that also the conditions of the water change quickly. So there's one scene where the family's fishing in a small boat, and when we look towards Jacqueline and Lucia, the water's calm, and we were filming a half hour later looking at the father and two sons, and the water's very choppy, and the boat was almost out of control, simply because over that period of time, when you're filming, it can take 6 hours to shoot a single scene, and when the weather conditions change during that time, especially when you're in a beach location, there's nothing you can do to conceal the fact that the weather has changed. But I think it works okay. The advantages were just the generosity of the community and the fact that when you're looking at 1872, Nantucket's the perfect place to be because you can both get town environments and also unspoiled beach environments. You know, I mean, there were times where we'd look at a location. Yes, there were boat moorings or there were some modern buildings in the background, but we were also given access by the Conservation Foundation, the Nantucket Land Bank, and also the trustees of the reservations to go out to Cascada Pond and out towards Coteau, which were fabulous sort of wilderness locations, beach locations, and wildlife sanctuaries, which provided exactly the environment we were hoping for, and we got it. And it's just a wonderful, spectacular environment.
Directing a movie requires organization, intense focus, but you're also working with students. So I imagine there's a teaching component that had to go on as well.
Yeah. Well, we use the entire semester to make the film, and we start with a week at the Sundance Film Festival where the students sort of bond and have to navigate together to access tickets and everything else. But students came from 12 different colleges, two Marlborough College, where I teach, for that semester. And we spent, after coming back from Sundance, 7 weeks in literature and film studies classes related to the theme of the story that we were treating, workshops in camera, light, sound. For one group, another group decides production management, another one production design, costume design, post-production. Everybody participates in intense script debate and really wanting to immerse people in the script. Changes were made. Students rewrote some dialogue and what the challenges of direction were. So and visiting artists come in. So it's a very busy 7 week period of preparation and also study and workshop. So then when we go into production, students require about 3 days of really being on set, which is a shock to the system, but they've been thinking and talking and working toward that end. But within that 3 days, they really step up and become peers to the professionals. And so the crew really, in my experience so far, and I've done this twice, it gels and we're on the road and things are happening. And that doesn't mean that people don't make mistakes. And we're not in a position to judge those mistakes. We are about encouraging the students and just having them step forward and reach beyond their grasp. And it's a wonderful ambience on set and a very positive sense of camaraderie and collaboration. So I prefer it, frankly, to all professionals on the set, but that's just me.
And it's also a period piece, which comes with its own complications. You got to get the history right. You've got all the costumes, as you just referenced, even the dialogue. And how do you keep all that?
Well,
make sure that's all correct.
The audience will make the final decision on that, I'm sure. I mean, costumes were a big deal on this film. We had an Emmy-winning costume designer who worked with the students and had to leave halfway through for another job and left the students fully in charge. They did a great job. But the students, the costumes were worth $12,000 to $15,000 a piece. They had to be perfectly maintained and managed. And, you know, given the limits of the budget, we made a significant investment in costumes as helping to really deliver the sense of period. Dialogue, you know, I worked with a 19th century translation, English translation of the novel, as opposed to a 1970s translation, which was also available. So I wanted to work with a sense of language from the period. And I worked with two different translations, both of them from the 1880s, 1890s. So I think that you do the best you can. And I think that a film is its own creature. Some of the history is specific to Nantucket and to the moment. Some of the history is drawn sort of metaphorically because of the themes that we're trying to emphasize. I mean, for example, the doctor does not have the very specific history. We did not pull that very specific history from Nantucket, but we looked at sort of the idea of Nantucket as a place of abolition and Quaker pacifism and worked with some of those ideas. Lucia's story is actually is based on a specific story of a Cuban expatriate who got involved in the war in Florida. So we also drew some specific history from other regions to connect. But the story, for example, of the steamer coming back into port in Nantucket after the first wave of soldiers returning from the front from the Civil War is based on a very specific story that is in Robert Mooney's book about Nantucket's role in the Civil War.
The filmmaker Jay Craven, thank you for coming in and speaking about your
My pleasure.
Film. And the film is Peter and John, and it will open Friday, July 3rd at Cape Cinema. And you're actually doing a Cape and Islands. You're calling it a barnstorming tour. Tell me about that.
Well, we're going to play 35 different venues on the Cape and Islands during this summer and early fall. And so we will be everywhere. And kingdomcounty.org is one place that you can get a schedule.
And we'll also have screening details at our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Sean Corcoran, in for Mindy Todd.